Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the most entertaining part of your Sunday, probably the most entertaining part of your weekend, hopefully. I am your host with the most. I am the icon, the living legend himself, Sean Jazz Stevens, everyone. Welcome to the F-World headquarters. That is what we call this quaint little podcast or establishment. Today is a random show, and I'll tell you why. I've been wanting to just do a show for a while, and I know that I have not been doing them as often as I should be. But a lot of it is because I'm busy working on several different other life events. Like today, I was supposed to start this show at 8 o'clock, and I left to go food shopping, which, by the way, to go food shopping, I really only have to go next door to where I am. And I literally got back at 8 o'clock and I left at 6:30, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you why it took me so long. I was avoiding other people in the supermarket, which is what I tend to do when I'm in the supermarket. This is going to sound strange and kind of goes against what I was trained in when I was starting out as a pro wrestler. See, when I was going to wrestling school, one of the things that late great Walter Killer Kowalski taught us is that our fans are one of the most important parts and the most important aspects of our career. They're really the ones who make or break us. And when you're good to your fans, they'll be good to you. Even when you're a heel in the ring, which for those people who don't know, that's a bad guy, then outside the ring, you should be equally as nice to the people who take time, who take their hard-earned money and they invest it in you. Whether it's to boo you or whatever the case may be, the longer run of it is because they're paid to see you. And that's something that is, you know, a really cool thing, really. So Kowalski taught us to respect our fans and to always give our fans whatever they needed when we could. Whether it be 5 minutes of our time to answer a question, even though we've answered that same question 966 times, we're still going to answer that question with the same respect as we answered it the first several times we heard it. If someone asks us for an autograph or a picture, we're not going to be jerks and ask them for $100 because that's lame. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't even be doing what we do. So I don't take money for autographs and pictures and things like that. I just do it because I care about my fans and I like my fans. Now, last year, rewind the last year when the world was having a hard time or whatever. And those of you guys who are familiar with my show, you know, I try to keep everything positive on the show. I don't like to condone various things in the media and whatnot. And I don't tell people what to or not to do. I do urge people to be safe and use their heads when they go out in public. And I don't often talk about the situation as a whole because enough people do that and there's enough of those out there. And that's not something that I'm going to be doing because that's not something that I enjoy talking about, nor do I really think anybody really enjoys listening to it. And I don't think it's right to sensationalize it either. So that's why I don't really acknowledge, you know, the whole instance last year. But what I can tell you is this. I learned a couple things valuable, both good and bad. And I think in life, it's important to pay attention to those things when they come up. The good things I learned is that I was so busy, always on the go, always out and about. And I really didn't realize there was so many talented people out there in the world, so many gifted people who are just waiting to get that word of encouragement that might push them to the edge to make their dreams reality. Or I didn't realize there were so many people like me who busted their rear ends, whether it be in the gym or on the dance floor, in the drama department, whatever it is that you're trying to get into. I see so many talented people now on social media. Now, I'm not on Facebook. I've said that time and time again. The reason I'm not on Facebook is because I don't have time for that kind of thing. To be honest, when I got into these social media things way back when they even started, right? How many people even remember the early days? I can honestly tell you guys, I'm always late to the party when it comes to this stuff because I'm kind of old school and I'm not going to apologize for that. I am a little regretful that sometimes it took me longer than others to realize or catch on. For example, I mean, I found out about MySpace when MySpace was a thing, and I made some really, really strong relationships outside of social media. And that's actually how I got the message of the F4L, what we do, what we're about to go global. And thanks to that exposure on MySpace, when I was starting out in pro wrestling, a lot of people who were also starting out in their own different variations and their own different genres really bonded together to kind of make that, you know, a place to network, if you would. And that's what I, you know, talked to people about the F4L, and people loved it. People in Australia, in Wales, in the UK, in Canada, and all over the United States, in South America, in Italy, France, Russia, China, you name it, there's F4L everywhere. And I'm happy about that. And I'm proud of the fact that my, you know, the people out there in the world are, you know, we're willing to listen to what the F4L was and really listen to and understand it. And people were able to take, you know, what I was teaching them out. And I literally appreciated that. Quick shout out to my friends in Wales, Sean and Kieran Perfett, their brothers from Wales. I met them through social media, and Sean was one of the first people who I really talked to a lot about the F4L too. He was in Wales, and I'm, of course, from the United States. I was a pro wrestler, and I still am. Well, now it's a little less of a title now. Now I'm more on the creative aspect, where I'm helping other guys get into the business or whatever. But he was a person who was very talented artistically, but also he was like in promoting the bands and stuff like that. And I was so proud of him. And Sean was a great guy. He was about my age. And, you know, I really took a lot of pride in our conversations back in the day and how willingly he was to understand what I was telling him about it and how he was. And not the sympathy of how it came to be, but the empathy that came along with it. I really appreciated that. And then his brother, Kieran, his younger brother, who, you know, heard about the F4L and who I was through his brother, he was just as, you know, astonished with that. And there were a lot of people all over the place that I would, you know, reach out to and talk about the F4L and different things like that. We just became friends after that. But that was through MySpace. And then Facebook came out. I remember a lot of people were talking about this Facebook thing that was coming out, that you could do this and that. And one of the issues people had with MySpace is a lot of people were pretending to be other people. And supposedly with Facebook, they had ways to prevent, you know, fake people to come out, fake accounts. Because I'll tell you, nothing's worse than having someone pretend to be you or someone to, you know, try to steal your identity or try to live on your name and your work. Trust me, as someone who's been in the entertainment business, both in wrestling and in film and movies, it's nothing more obnoxious than that either. So there's that too. So now what is, you know, when Facebook started, a lot of like people, like I said, they wanted to really get me to join the Facebook thing like everyone else. And I was hesitant. I had the MySpace thing. But after talking to a few of my friends who were on MySpace, who were going to Facebook, like my friends in Wales, I said, all right, I'll give it a shot. I don't have to have everybody in the world. And that's when I, you know, got into Facebook and various things like that. You know, and the thing about social media in general is that way too many people fall into the trap of being on there for hours. And it's almost like it's, you know, you wake up in the morning, the first thing you have to do is see your notifications, what happened on Facebook overnight. I think a lot of people still do this, no matter what the media outlet it is. Me, my first instinct when I get up in the morning is to, you know, go to the lavatory, take a shower, get my coffee, and then I'll look at everything after the fact. After I've done everything else that I'm expected to do or should be doing, that's when I'll, you know, turn on something and see what's going on Instagram, in my case, Twitter or YouTube, whatnot. And when I started on MySpace, on Facebook, it was kind of all right at first. And then what I found was over time, this is before my wife and I, who at this time we were kind of off and on as boyfriend, girlfriend here and there. We already had two kids. but they were, you know, they were living in a different area, all three of them, and I wasn't ready to move to where they were, and we weren't ready to take their relationship at that particular time to the next level. We kept our relationship to the, you know, to the minimum because I had a lot of family and people in my life who I didn't really think that needed to know any of my personal business. When I say family, I mean my blood. And I think everyone who talks, who knows me and listens to this podcast enough knows that when it comes to priority status, anyone who's in the F, my wife, my kids would be my family. And then right underneath that would be the F4L. Anyone who is F4L would be in that demographic. And then after that would be blood, I guess. In all honesty, I don't put a lot of merit into the blood relationships. It's just they're not the kind of same people I am. They don't believe in the same things I do. And that's okay. That's their choice. They don't see what the F4L is. You know, and that's okay, to each their own. I'm a lot happier being me than be like everyone else. So when I started out on Facebook, you know, like a lot of us, now because I was, you know, working a day job and then on weekends I would work sometimes the day job during the days and then I'd have wrestling shows at night because that's just what you do when you're, you know, breaking into the wrestling business or whatever you're doing. And what would happen is I got into this trap of, you know, late at night being online on Facebook or whatever and talking to my fellow wrestling buddies. Because to be honest with you, just spoiler alert for those people who don't know, a lot of wrestlers will go on late at night because they believe a lot of people are sleeping at night and a lot of people won't pester them as well. Now, the easy solution would be just don't add people you don't actually know or you don't actually want to talk to. And that's the honest, that's the easiest way to avoid that. But what happens is, like myself, we were trained to respect our fans. And depending on who it is, you know, if a fan, you know, reaches out to me, and it's always been my practice, someone writes to me or takes the time to call me or talk to me, then I'm going to take that time to respond to them. That is something that I've always followed through with and I've always stood by. So there is that. Now, as far as, you know, living where, as far as, you know, living, dealing with other people around you, you don't know, you know, a lot of the times why a lot of wrestlers will friend a lot of fans and stuff. But I got to tell you, I have no issues with, you know, blocking or firing or quitting or deleting people who start to act like fools, who are disrespectful, who are ungrateful, who are rude, belligerent. And I have done that, and I'll be the first to admit that, and I'm not afraid to admit that because if you're a piece of garbage, I'm not going to have you as a friend. You're not a friend of mine if you're sitting there cutting promos or not being helpful or whatever. Now, I have not had that many people on my in my social media life who have been complete jerks, fair warning. Or that's the good thing. I've not known a lot of people who are, you know, nasty people. For the most part, most people are pretty cool, I have to say. But here's the thing. You know, what also happens is late at night, you see a lot of the posts. You find people. One of the things I also thought was kind of cool about Facebook is a lot of the friends I was friends with or people who I was acquaintances with, I should say, back in elementary school were on Facebook. People who I haven't heard from since first or second grade. And that's a long time for someone who's, you know, in his 20s, who's done a lot. And what was really disheartening is how many people I talked to from back in the elementary school days who remember how I was in first grade and can't wrap their head around how someone like myself, who took school very lightly, you know, could turn out to be, you know, an accomplished writer, to be a filmmaker, to be a wrestler, to be a spokesman, to be an, you know, a podcaster, to be a proud husband and father, to be someone who, you know, hobnobs, who does his own podcast or whatever. You know, a lot of people are quick to dismiss me for those things. And they would be, you know what, all honesty, that is, they're right. In all honesty, looking back, a lot of things I did, and I remember all of it. I can understand how it would be hard to see. someone who used to legitimately run into walls and take dead birds to school for show and tell because a friend of his dared him to do it.
You see, that kind of goes back to my whole thing about being a goal-oriented individual. My first goal when I first started school was I didn't want to see people upset or sad or whatever. So I would go to great lengths to make them happy, which meant, you know, if I made them laugh, obviously they were happy. And usually I was the butt of the joke, and I didn't think that was a thing. I didn't see the harm in that at that time. But over the years, I come to learn there's two different types of laughing. There's the ones who laugh at you. That's when you're acting like a fool. Then there's the ones who laugh with you. You make a joke, everyone is in on the joke, and everyone laughs at the joke. Unfortunately, I was the joke, and I put myself as the butt of it. And over the last several years, I've done a great job, I feel, to overdo that, or to overtake that viewpoint of myself that a lot of people have. And a lot of the people I knew back in school were very surprised. And, you know, then, you know, what happens is you don't talk to them here and there. And then what happened was on Facebook, because I was so busy with wrestling, filmmaking, film school, I was working in a day program to help adults with mental illness. I was doing a lot of speaking arrangements, talking about anti-bullying. You know, you name it, I was involved in it. So when I was doing a lot of that, then I had bowling and all the other sports I was doing outside of, you know, the usual, you know, wrestling and stuff like that. But with all that being said, in work, you know, things happen where you don't have that time anymore. So what I did is what I decided to do is I'd get messages from people all the time, people who I wouldn't talk to on a regular basis. And they'd say, hey, you know, Jazz, because most people know me as that. Hey, Jazz, you know, how is everything going? You know, what's been new? And, you know, remember that soccer game back in the day or various other things? So what I decided to do a long time ago is set aside a specific time period of the week where I would sit and, you know, really dedicate about an hour or two to the people I don't normally get to talk to on a regular basis. And that day was Tuesday, which is how Talking Tuesday was formed. I was off on Tuesdays, and so I started at 6 o'clock, ended at 9 o'clock, so 6 to 10 or 6 to 9 p.m. On a Tuesday, I would do a thing where I would DM all the people I wouldn't normally talk to, say hello, see how everyone's doing, and it was called Talking Tuesday, and it was a phenomenon, and so much so that, you know, it became, you know, the hashtag Talking Tuesday. The people who were opposed to the F4L or opposed to the things I believe in and the people who don't understand the loyalty factor didn't like the whole Talking Tuesday idea, that that was cheesy and corny. Well, I don't care because I'm not doing it to impress them. I'm doing it for my own well-being and because I respect the people. Because the way I look at things on social media is if I didn't respect you or if I didn't like some aspect of you, I wouldn't have one. Agreed to add you or requested you. It's something about you that I think is endearing, and there's something about you that I think is, you know, worthy of me, you know, saying hello. That's one of the reasons I believe in doing those things. And that's carried over. That's honestly been my, you know, thing even today. I still don't just add people unless I'm going to say hello to them or talk to them or engage to them. A lot of people will, you know, probably see a little thing. They'll post a thing on Instagram, and I'll say a little quick words of wisdom or a thought or an idea to help them out. And I do that because, you know, out of respect and because at least I'm doing something. Over the last year and a half, because we've been forced to sit in the house and look at social media, I've really been blessed enough to be able to really open up into these worlds and to see these people. And I'm not the only one. Actor Michael Fishman, who's been a guest on this show twice. He's been around Hollywood for a long time, and he's, you know, doing big things for himself. But he does, you know, Mental Health Mondays on Mondays at 9 o'clock, well, Eastern time, 6 o'clock his time. And then he does, you know, Thursday he'll do another one where he'll have an open chat on Instagram. If I had a live fan base like that, I would probably do something like that. But all honesty, just what I have found with the Instagram thing is 9 out of 10 people who want to talk to me are either creeps or are not interested in hearing what I have to say, or they like things 7 years after or 6 months after I said something. And that's okay. Whatever. It is what it is. Again, I live my way. I do my things my way. I don't expect anyone to bow down, do things my way, because it's not their way. Again, it's in the bylaws of the F-World to respect others' differences. And that is the thing. Now, that being said, that was the kind of the good thing, that this kind of timeout where I had to go on social media, or I wasn't able to go out and about a lot, I had to work from home, to work on writing and things from home. That's really given me a lot of outlets to see some really talented people. So much so that when it comes to me making either my next film, which I am working on the film stuff, and I'm also working my first musical. I've never written a stage play in my life. But I'm really excited about this one I've been working on, and I see a lot of talented people out there that I can actually see in those roles. Anyone who's ever worked for me in the filmmaking business, whoever worked on our sets or whatever, they know kind of how I operate. One, I like to have my sets, you know, kind of laid back and almost like a family-like atmosphere. It makes it easier on the set for everyone to do their job well when everyone has a good chemistry. And two, the other part of that is, it's just you get along better, you know, socially and whatnot. And the filmmaking business is kind of like if you've ever been in a group home or a hospital, or if you've ever been to a private school or summer camp, right? How many people have ever had that person you're really friends with at summer camp? Oh, well, I'll see you later. I'll write to you. You know, next year, I'll see you next year. We'll write forever, and you never hear from them again. Well, you know, in retrospect, in a lot of the ways, that's kind of how that goes, you know. But I still keep in contact with a lot of the people who I had on my films, and I'm very proud of all of them for all of their hard work and dedication. And I actually really love to see when they go on to do bigger things. A lot of people will be selfish and they'll, you know, take that credit for them. And I'm just happy that they came to, that I was one of the first people they had to work with, that I gave them that comfortability factor. And a lot of them have come back anytime I've needed an extra or a role filled, and I've reached out to any of those people without a hesitation, they jump on board. And I really, that reflects upon my dedication and how I treat my cast, crew and whatnot. And that's just how I treat people in general. So, but, you know, that's the good thing. Now, the bad part about it is I was getting into this, and I'm going to wrap this piece up after this, because this has gone on long enough right here. But the reason why, like I said, I was supposed to do the show at 8:00 originally, but I had to always to push it up because I was food shopping. I left the house at 6:30. The supermarket is literally next door. And I honestly go by a list, and that's what I've been doing for the last, well, since I've been shopping, really. And because I'm the budget conscious one in the family, I'm the one who really watches the budget. I get the sales. I know the deals and things of that nature. So I will do a lot of that stuff where a lot of my wife, for example, she'll just buy the stuff that she needs that looks good. And she means well, you know, you need the necessities, the bread, the bread, the milk, the eggs. But, you know, I like to get the bread, the milk, the eggs when they're on sale, you know what I mean? And same thing goes for anything else, coffee, creamer, or whatever. You know, some other time down the road, I'm probably going to give you guys some tips on how to save some money, probably closer to the holidays, because I think that would be helpful. Maybe I'll do like a two-part. I'll do one just before Halloween, which is coming up just on the other side of this month. And then after that, you get the holidays, or what people call the holidays. I hate them. And also, for those of you guys who know, I absolutely despise October. Yeah, October for me is like vinegar and water. I absolutely loathe the month of October because of how many, you know, past bad experiences have happened in October. The only good thing that has ever happened in October that I am truly grateful for, that I truly love and I would never change, is that was when I finally got to marry my wife and we had our final wedding and became that family that we were always meant to be. That is the only good thing that has ever happened in October, which are, yes, our anniversary is coming up on the other side of this month as well. All right, now we're in September. This is fall, and people are getting back to school. So a lot of the things I had to indulge with in the store just a few while ago was all the other people who don't apparently know to stay away from other people, don't talk to people you don't know, don't, you know, listen, here's the deal. As I said earlier, I actually, you know, goes against my principles to be nice to the fans. I've always tried to be nice. But this day and age, I'd be honest with you, if I'm going to the store, I have my headphones on, I don't want to talk to you, I want to get my stuff and come back. A lot of the reasons because I want to be back in time to do my show at 8 o'clock. Clearly that didn't happen because, well, people know who I am and people find out things and that's what happens. Needless to say, I apologize I'm late and here we are. Changed the time, so yeah. You still have about an hour and 33 minutes of me from this time period, so get comfortable. My wife, who is at work right now, my son, who is at work right now, I'm very proud. Quick shout out to my son, Sean Awesome, who got a new job. He's following in my footsteps, folks. He's working in the movie theater now, working in concession stands over at the Showcase Cinema. So shout out to him, and thank you, Showcase Cinema, for hiring him. I honestly think that when you're a young person, you have very little responsibilities. I think a movie theater is something like that is a really good job for someone. It's not terribly hard, but also you can really utilize a lot of skills you can learn, and you can move in the company and, you know, various things like that. It's a paycheck, which is a good thing. If you like movies, you get free movies. One thing I can tell you also, a lot of people have this misconception that, you know, you get to eat all this popcorn and drink all the drinks, all the food. So, you know, awesome. You must love it. And I got to tell you, I think my son would probably tell you this too. And he only just began there about maybe a week or two ago. But you get sick of the popcorn real quick. As nice as the popcorn is, after you've worked in a movie theater for five plus, or actually I worked for a movie theater for quite a long time. Six, seven, eight, I don't know, I lost track of time, right after Blockbuster closed. So there's that. And I worked for Blockbuster before it closed. So that goes to show I'm dating myself again. But I'm really proud of him. He's doing good things. He's, in, you know, enjoying that. My daughter's still busy working the same job. She's still working for the vegan restaurant and, you know, working, doing the preparation of the food or whatever else she's doing up there. She seems to like it. She's doing good, her and her boyfriend doing their thing. I like to torture them once in a while because as the father of the daughter, you know, I have to torture the boyfriend once in a while. It's in the cards. We pretty much get along with the family pretty well. My wife has known the family for a long time. She went to school with the guy's mother, so that doesn't mean I don't torture the guy because I do plenty. It's a playful thing anyway. But anyway, you know, that's what's going on there. And, you know, I'm very excited. One thing I want to do is make a real quick announcement. And I guess, you know, I also want to let people know that if you've watched my YouTube show, Jazz and His Icons of the F4L, you guys have seen a lot of the, you know, new faces over the last several years, new change, it's taken a new kind of direction that has for me. A lot of that's because my son wanted to go and do some other YouTube stuff with some other people. And whatnot. But over the last, you know, little while now, my son is starting to grow into the creative aspect things as well. So he's going to be coming back on board with me, and him and I are going to be working together on the all-new Jazz and His Sons Us Versus Them show, which is we're going to take 50 of our best caws, our created wrestlers, some of the biggest names we've had on our show, the people who put us on the map,
some of our Hall of Famers, for example, Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers, The Horror Connection, or should I say Kane Hodder, Robert Englund, Tyler Mayne of The Horror Connection, Peter Griffin, Homer Simpson, the very first two people to ever be seen in a match on Dream Masters back in the day, Christina Ricci, various people like that will be featured on the show. People who put us on the map in the early days of Dream Match, our very best 50. That's kind of, you know, as easy that might be for some people to realize, that's really not. And then since the last year, a lot of my favorite new people to use, a lot of the favorite people who perform best are a lot of our new talents, like the lucky ones technically are on the other roster, because the lucky ones, I can tell you, are going to be featured on the Us Versus Them show, because they were a tag team and established before we started this new kind of concept. I started it. So they will be going there, as well as Minty will probably be making the shift soon himself into the Us Versus Them roster. And a lot of other favorites that people like. Some of our current stars are going over there as well, because they put so much work in, and pretty much because they've defeated everyone on our roster and they really have nothing else to prove on our roster. We want to have people kind of freshened up, you know. We kind of need fresh people. A lot of people wonder how much work goes into these shows that I do. And the answer, long and short of it, is quite a bit. Quite a bit goes into it. It's not easy at all, as easy as it sounds. And, you know, whatever. But one of the biggest things I have is trying to decide, you know, which of the 50 goes to the, you know, the Us Versus Them roster versus which ones stay on our current roster. Because one of the things we don't want to do is double dip and confuse our audience. Like, why is this guy on both? Because what the Us Versus Them roster is we're going to take our 50 best against the very best, well, 50 of the very best in pro wrestling ever. So, you know, that's kind of the idea. We're going to find out, you know, who has the better talent roster, us or them. Get it? So, you know, I can tell you that the Hulk and the Thing, the Brains and Brawn team are coming back. Fire and Ice, everyone's favorite. You know, Mortal Kombat tournament people, Fire and Ice, were the ones that dubbed them their name, and then Mortal Kombat gave them to them officially. That, of course, is Scorpion and Sub-Zero are going to be on the Us Versus Them roster. As well, as I said, Minty, Jack and Tim, the Lucky Ones, who, by the way, are doing a tour right now in England. I'm very upset that we can't go over there right now, because I would love to go rock out with Jack and Tim, our Lucky Ones. But anyway, in the meantime, some down the road, guaranteed. But in the meantime, Jack and Tim are going to be holding it down over there as a tag team. And just the aspect of what that's going to mean. Are Jack and Tim, the Lucky Ones, as good as, say, Rhythm and Blues, which is the Honky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine? Or is, you know, the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk of Brains and Brawn, is he better than the immortal Hulk Hogan? And who really has a right to call themselves that? And also, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Is he really The Rock? Because I'm sure that our favorite, you know, his tag team partner, The Thing, who is a rock, would have some something to say about that. That's kind of what you can look forward to in the Us Versus Them kind of a show. Can't really go into too much details right now. We have nothing officially booked for matches. Sean and I, my son and I, are going to be booking the match together, show it together. We're going to be going over the roster together. Everything's done the way it originally was with you know, our father-son's Dream Masters and the father-son's Women Warriors for Wrestling. It's kind of the same aspect. We do everything together. We book all of our same shows. We don't hire or fire anybody without the other approval. And so forth. So that's how that, in all honesty, if it wasn't for the fact that Sean Awesome hasn't been working on the Us Versus on the other show, the Social Lifecast probably wouldn't be back. And I guess that's my fault. I know the fans really like him, so that's why they're still there. And of course, that's Brock Brown and Little Sweet and them. Anywho, that is kind of what's going on with the YouTube show. I saw earlier that, you know, a lot of people who have been watching their matches recently have really taken a liking to their cause. And particular shout out to our friend, the Duchess Lana King. She is our current reigning social media champion for the Women Warriors of Wrestling. And what a champion she is. She's been taking on challenger after challenger, defeating them all. She's undefeated right now since making her debut a number of weeks ago. She's a friend that she's an F4L member who I met through Michael Fishman, actually, who's also on our roster. And actually, Michael Fishman is actually going to be heading to the Us versus Them roster because of his stand-upness and so forth. Him and Ames are probably going to be going to the Us versus Them roster shortly. So, and they've been on the roster a long time. It's kind of like graduating, I suppose, but not, because we obviously have our favorites, whoever wants to see on our regular show. That, of course, I still work on, for the most part, by myself. Once in a while, I'll have a guest like Sean Austin will do a commentary on the, you know, the thing. That's kind of the other thing you can look forward to with Us versus Them is we do the show together again, which means we do the commentary together. And then the guys who ever heard us do commentary, you know, it's always good for a laugh anyway. You never know what we're going to say because we have different aspects. See, I come from the wrestling business and the filmmaking business. My son is, you know, a teenager who has his own outlooks on things, and he's pretty wise to some things. And other things, it's just, it's quite amusing, which is probably why the dynamic works and why so many other people on YouTube have tried to do what we've done for a number of years, except can't beat the best. Sorry, guys. But anywho, let's get back to some things. I wanted to answer a couple questions I got from some fans. I had a couple fan questions. One question I got from a fan via email, I don't want to go into, you know, I'm not going to put the person out on blast or anything, but they wanted to know, they saw that recently I went down to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and I talked to a lot of well-known celebrities. And she was kind of asking me, you know, what it's like for me to be around those kinds of people, who are the nicer ones and are they all jerks or whatever else. And I just want to address that right quick. See, I treat everyone the same, no matter who they are. And I don't mind, to me, and this is an honest way anyone should really look at these things. You know, an actor is a job. Acting is a job. Directing is a job. If you're a musician, that's a job. And, you know, it's just a different type of job, I guess. So if you look at it like this, do you make a huge deal when you go to Dunkin' Donuts or your coffee shop or your supermarket? I mean, as much as you should give respect to those people who are busting their rear ends to make sure you get your food, your coffee, or your food right. But let's face it, you know, for the retrospect, a lot of people don't really consider, you know, the girl who gives you your coffee a celebrity, right? Even if they're the most popular coffee person there. But in the superficial world, that is kind of what that is, kind of the label you put on people who are on screen or in TV, film, music, or whatever. They make things celebrities. About a couple of weeks ago, I made a comment about how I don't view necessarily people like Paris Hilton and the Kardashians as celebrities. I know, granted, they now have a reality show. I don't really consider reality TV show stars or celebrities, because I come from a time when you actually had to do something yourself for something of importance. Because you're on a TV show with your name on it, but yet I've never heard of you or know anything about your family, why does that make me want to think you're a celebrity? That's like putting a camera in your teacher's house and watching a teacher all day. Is the teacher a celebrity? It's the same aspect. But to answer the question, yeah, I always treat everyone, whether it's be a fellow filmmaker, a fellow wrestler, or just, you know, Joe Schmo down the street, the coffee person, the supermarket person. I treat everyone the same with the same respect that I'm shown. I'm pretty nice until I don't have to be anymore. I'm not going to put up with rudeness and belligerentness. I have gotten into arguments with only one celebrity, and I'm not going to bring that up again because I've
I told that story way too much. And all honesty, it's time to move on past that. And I have. I've moved past that, you know, that not so pleasant experience with a B-rated actor. But anyway, I'm not going to do that right now because I've moved past it. But all honesty, like, the people I got to meet were so generous and so kind, so nice people. I have to say, and this is big. This is a big thing right here that I'm about to say. So going down to Cherry Hill and going down to Monster Mania, in thanks to the Hagans and so forth, there was a lot of, you know, uncertainties, what was going to happen. People going to have to wear masks. How's this going to be? Here's the way I look at things. I was going to show up. I'm going to have the best time I can possibly have, whether I have to wear a mask or not. That's kind of how I look at that. And I did. I did have a good time. My family had a good time. And I wanted to say, and this kind of makes me kind of happy. You know, sometimes in our lives, we make mistakes, or we have assumptions, or we have beliefs on someone. And I have said it time and time again that you can't judge someone by what everyone else says or whatever else. Now, it may be true that when I see Matthew Lillard's name if I see Matthew Lillard's name in a movie in credits or whatever, I don't really have a lot of investment in that film, sadly enough. But I got The Walking Dead on the other side, and Walking Dead's coming to an end, as you know. And down the road, I'm going to be doing a full episode, and I'm going to be talking about The Walking Dead. Maybe get a guest from The Walking Dead. Wouldn't that be something? Anywho, no, as far as that aspect goes, basically the moral of the story is just, I went down there to have a good time. I had a good time. I showed my respect to the people who are responsible for me getting in the business. That's what I do. I went down there to thank the filmmakers for, you know, giving me the inspiration to become a filmmaker, to get into the business, for giving me entertainment as a kid, for giving me hope in some aspects. But what Matthew Lillard said really struck home for me. He did a Q&A on Saturday night, him and Skeet Ulrich. And for the first time ever, I've the promoter just hand the microphone over. And Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich, who you probably may know from Scream, they were the killers in Scream, the original. Matthew Lillard, in case you don't also know, was also in Scooby-Doo. He was Shaggy and a bunch of other things. And Skeet Ulrich was, of course, the killer in Scream, but he was also in, like, The Craft and some other things. But what Matthew Lillard said really struck home, or what he did is he really broke down and told people how important these things are for people like himself. He talked about how hard the movie business is, and I thought that was very, very, very informative. I thought it was also very honest, and I honestly had a lot of respect for what he had to say, because it's also honestly true. You have so many roles in Hollywood that go out there, and when you want to establish yourself as an actor, you want to take as much work as you can to get your portfolio and get your work out there. The problem is sometimes you get a role that might either tank your reputation, or you might get typecasted, like it happens to so many people. And what Matthew Lillard said is that, you know, in the filmmaking business, when you're an actor, you can work on a film, and then the minute that film's over, you're done, and you move on to the next one, or you got to find the next one. And you can go sometimes, you know, if you're an actor or whatever, you can go almost a year or something without working. And if you're not working, you're not bringing in money, of course, and the money you get paid is not as much as people think it is. After you talk about taxes, agents, lawyers or whatever else you got to pay for, you know, that's a costly thing. And what Matthew Lillard did is he thanked the people at the convention for coming in, because in Raymond's room, we were putting food on this table for his wife and his family, for his family, his wife, his kids, or whatever else. He said how he really doesn't like taking the money from people. And if you ever see him in his hometown, just, you know, say, you know, want his honor, he'll give it to you. Kind of like that wrestling aspect I mentioned earlier. But in the same sense that these things, you know, people, you know, pay him whatever. And he really showed the emphasis on what the money goes to and how much it actually helps. And that was really, really important statement that he made. Because I think it's easy for people to assume that a lot of these people who do these shows have plenty of money. They don't need anything else. But let's face it, when you're looking at people like a Matthew Lillard or a lot of these people who do these shows, in between work, this is how they make their living, these conventions. A lot of these horror aspect people are amazing humans. I'm lucky to call a lot of them, you know, acquaintances. I don't know about friends yet, but I would definitely say acquaintances. I have a lot of respect for a lot of them and whatnot. And there are a lot of great people out there. But, again, on the same sense, you know, it's a different dynamic. And he was absolutely right. You can go months, weeks, years without getting work in between. And these shows give people like him a chance to, one, meet the fans that's going to take something. And that was the other thing that really meant a lot to him is when he meets these people, the impact they have on him, that his journey, his inspiration, that's kind of why I do what I do. And I thought that he earned my respect over the show, and I'm not afraid to admit that. In my time, I have been critical of his work, and I might not like a lot of his films, but him as a person, top-notch, Matthew Lillard. Skeet Ulrich, also good. They need their own talk show, I think. That's what I get to say about that. So that was kind of the question that was asked. How was it like to be around other people? And the long, short answer is treat people with the same respect you have with anyone else. That's what I do. In wrestling, we're told not to what they call mark out. That's when you get fancy around other wrestlers or whatever. Same thing goes when you're around other celebrities. Because you're all in the same business. You're all in the same avenue. When you're in the wrestling business, you're in the locker room, you're a wrestler. So, you know, there's no star power there. It's just you're all equals. You're a brotherhood. That's one of the things that makes the wrestling locker room one of the most enduring ones you'll ever be a part of. And most rewarding ones. Sometimes a heartbreaking one, too. One thing I also want to touch on, somebody asked, why I never really say a lot of things about a lot of people who have died over the last several years in wrestling. Oh, boy, that's a question. Here's the thing about when it comes to death and people who have passed on, it's a sad moment. And don't think that I don't feel bad for the person as a whole. And I don't feel bad for the family and whatever else. It's not so much that. But here's the sad part about my life. One, and the business as a whole, you get so, you're exposed to it so much and you hear it so much that it's almost like, you know, it's nothing new. There's nothing different about it. But also, I'm going to be honest with you guys, when it comes to social media, I'm probably not going to mention a lot of things on about someone who passed away. I'm definitely not going to like a post that someone put that someone passed away, because why would you like that someone died? And I think a lot of my fellow wrestling buddies agree with that philosophy. They don't want to like that someone died. Why would you do that? And what also happens is a lot of people will come out of the well works when someone passes away. People who, you know, haven't maybe talked to that person in 20 years or had no kind of a connection to, but all of a sudden they pass away, then, oh, if only I had known, and, oh, I miss this person, or, oh, that person's awesome. Yeah, it's all nonsense. It's all people who feel that they want to get they want something better for themselves. In all honesty, they turn it about themselves rather than the person who passed away. That's kind of what that is. When you post a picture with yourself and that person who passed away, you're taking it away from that person and made it about you. And that's disrespectful to the person who passed away. That's how I view it. This past week, we lost Daphne, who was in ECW, for those people who don't know. Also, WCW, TNA. She was the original Scream Queen of the Ring. A lot of people remember her work with David Flair. I mean, yeah, it's not like I don't keep in touch or I don't, you know when someone passes away. I do. And it's not that I don't feel bad or take a moment to reflect. It's not that at all. It's just we are around it so much. We're exposed to it so much. We're not. It's nothing that it's new. And you get kind of immune to it. You get kind of bitter to it a little bit. A lot of the old-time wrestlers will have no problem breaking down in tears. But unfortunately, a lot of these guys are only exposed to it because of wrestling sometimes. Me, I've been around death since before I even broke into wrestling. So death to me is just everyday news. I've been having to deal with death since I was way too young to be able to deal with death. And I'm not making excuses. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing. It's just it's not that I don't feel sad when someone dies. It's not that I don't mourn them. It's not that I don't miss them. It's not that I don't feel sad. I don't cry. I haven't cried since I was 10 years old. I don't have the physical ability just because that part of me is shut off. It doesn't mean I don't reflect upon them. It doesn't mean that I'm a soulless monster. It just means that I just don't have any more tears to shed, especially when it comes to death. I respect the people, and if you're an F4L, you honestly believe that your F4Ls are with you everywhere. You can channel their energy whenever you want. In all honesty, when they live in your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul, they're not truly dead as long as you keep their memories alive and keep their memories going, their stories going. They're not going to die. They live there somewhere, just in a different aspect. That's in the bylaws of the F4L, too. Someday we're going to have a bylaw on what the F4Ls are. I'm drinking a glass of milk, and I'm having a salad, ladies and gentlemen, as a snack slash late dinner, because, fun. So that's kind of the deal with those questions I wanted to answer. Now, I wanted to talk about something about, a lot of kids are going back to school soon. Some kids have already gone back to school where you are in the world listening to this right now. So what I wanted to do is kind of give you guys some tips. I think one of the biggest misconceptions the teenagers or kids have versus adults are that you guys seem to think that we have never been teenagers before and that we were born adults, that we never went to school. I can tell you that's very much not the case. And school is going to mean different things to different people, granted. I had prepared a list of 14 things that will help you succeed in your school year. Unfortunately, I don't know where this went since then. So I'm just going to give you some tips. This is to help anyone who's going back to school, whatever grade you're going into, whether it be first grade, fifth grade, sixth, eighth, college or high school, freshman, senior, doesn't matter. These are tips that'll help you. They help me, and there you go. And by the way, I give these tips to my kids too, so there you go. So not just stuff I'm pulling out. These are things that are actually worked and I myself have utilized. So it's not like I'm just talking out my rear end there. So here you go. Here's some tips to help you guys through school. The number one thing I can always tell you, first is always be prepared. Have everything you need that you need. Have everything ready. Have your pencils, be over-prepared if you have to. Have paper, have pens, have a backup paper, have a backup pens, have a bag, have whatever you think you need for the day before you leave the day for the school day. Number two, don't hit the snooze button in the morning. This is the biggest thing a lot of people have issues with. You go to bed at night, and then, the morning comes, Monday morning comes, the alarm goes off. How many people still do this to this day? Your eye opens. You look at the clock as if it's some other thing. The clock tells you what time it is. You heard it buzz. And you hate your life all of a sudden because you have to either get out of bed, get a shower, get ready to go to school, or you stay in bed. You become late. Or you don't even go to school at all. You just stay in bed. And that's kind of the attitude that's going to carry you through your life. Even if you don't understand that, that's kind of where you're going to get. It's when you choose to get out of the bed, to go into the shower, no matter how hard it is, you don't hit the snooze button. You get up, You go in the shower, you get your morning ready, you do whatever you got to do, you get dressed, brush your teeth, whatever you got to do, and you go. Because the more you procrastinate, the longer your day is going to be. In all honesty, that attitude will drag you through the rest of your life. That will be you a whole time. Because I'm going to give you another spoiler what school is actually supposed to be. School is in preparation for you to get ready for real life as an adult. Spoiler alert. Even if you're in first grade, kindergarten, it's the same thing, just different aspects. Now, the other thing I'm going to give for you, now I know how many, I know a lot of people, I know a lot of people are going to be rolling their eyes at this one, especially a lot of teenagers. You get homework, you get assignments. Do it as quick as you can at the first opportunity you can. Not, you know, the morning of the next day. And before you do anything when you get home, you do it. Most people who are in high school or whatever, usually you have some type of study hall. If you get homework sometime before you get to that study hall, do your homework from those classes there. And then if you're fortunate enough to get another study hall, which I've, you know, very rare, but it's possible, I suppose, later in the day, any homework that comes after that time, you bang that out. So when you get home, there's not much to do. But I know how many people are thinking to themselves, I'm not going to do the first thing I do homework. Get that. But here's the thing. The longer you put it off, the more it's going to be there. And it's going to come back to haunt you anyway. You're either going to forget about it. You're going to get a failing grade. It's going to be half-assed. You're not going to put the whole effort into it, even if it's something you know you can do. And you don't want to put yourself in that aspect. You want to make yourself look like that, especially if it's something you know well. Now, another tip I can have for you, and this is a real big one, male, female, whatever. One, even if you're, in middle school or whatever, even later on in elementary school, really important is to pay attention to your hygiene. I can't emphasize that enough. Deodorant, brush your teeth, brush your hair, wear deodorant every day. I know some people shower at night, the night before they go to school, because it's easier for them in the morning. I personally feel that the shower the morning of is a great way to wake up, but it doesn't matter. You can adapt as long as you're willing to put the work in to go in adapting it. But the minute you get in the shower, you get everything ready, you put your deodorant on. To be honest with you, I don't even think about it anymore. I've been doing it for so long, since probably, fifth grade maybe. Fourth, fifth grade, I've been putting deodorant on, brushing my teeth, combing my hair, making sure my clothes are clean. And then I walk out the door. That's kind of how that works. In all honesty, that's just something I don't even think about now. Now I do things like that, and it's just second nature. But I can't tell you how many people, I bet your teachers could tell you how many people don't do that. And I bet you yourself, who have been around other classmates, or even yourself have been probably heard the criticism from other people. It's not only about you, it's also about the people around you, the respect of the people around you. But it's also putting you at a bad light either. You shouldn't be disrespectful to yourself either. And all of this, if you go walk around smelling, you're already giving people a real reason not to like you. And that's not a way to do things. All right. So the other thing I'm going to have for you is, this is big. Always, everyone in high school is going to want you to be part of their group. Everyone in high school, it's easy, especially if you're a freshman or you're just starting in the school with new people you don't know. You want to be accepted. And here's what I'm going to tell you. It's okay to be, friendly with people. But it's also important to realize that not everyone in high school is going to be your friends for the entire life period of yourself. And that some high school friendships some school relationships are just that. There are some friends you will have in school that you won't have outside of school, and vice versa. I can honestly tell you, in middle school, I didn't hang out with anyone from middle school outside of school until the F4L was started. And then obviously I hung out with the F4L, who are my brothers, so it didn't really matter, and sisters or whatever. Of course, when the F4L was established, when I was 16,
Of course, I was still in high school then. I was finishing up my, you know, high school, last year and a half of regular school. So in that aspect, you know, I still, you know, had that, you know, friendships. But not a lot of those kids I was friends with in the FRL went to my school either. Now, the other thing is about being your own self, being yourself, you know, always looking, trying to get this so it's not sounding confusing. Be yourself. Don't be a sheep. Everyone else wants to dress the same and listen to the same music. And I know some people might feel a little put off by that or may feel like they're an outcast. When I was in sixth grade, that was when real rap started. Rap became popular in the early 90s. People listening to rap music, people wearing clothes that were kind of baggy and falling down. That's not my style. I like my clothes fitting. I like rock and roll music for the most part. I pretty much give anything a chance, for the record. I'm not overly fond of rap. There are some rap that I can give respect to, but I just think a lot of it is just the same thing over and over again. I'm not huge into it, but in sixth grade, if you didn't listen to rap, if you didn't wear your clothes baggy or wear designer clothes or whatever else, you weren't hip and you weren't cool. Well, I guess I wasn't cool, so I got into a lot of fights. But I refused to fit into the norm of everybody else. I was my own self. I didn't talk like everyone else. I didn't act like everyone else. I didn't have the same, you know, moral compasses. I didn't feel that I don't have the same kind of likes and dislikes of these people. I am respectful of the fact that they like rap. Hey, you like rap? Cool. I like rock. I like pop. I like everything. But don't jam it down my throat. That's not cool. Anywho, but, you know, in high school especially, as you get older in the grades in the school, you'll see it more and more. Well, you'll want to have that social acceptance. You'll want to be part of a group. I think The Breakfast Club, the movie from the 80s, kind of put everything into perspective. And I had a conversation one time with Michael Fishman, of all people, and I honestly agree with this. If you were to do The Breakfast Club today, an updated version, do you know how much bigger that class would be now? For those people who have lived under a rock, who have never watched television on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning or a holiday, The Breakfast Club is a movie from the 80s, mostly starred a bunch of mid-30-year-olds or either mid to late 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds in some cases, playing teenagers on Saturday morning detention, which was a thing. And there was five of them, and they all represented a different cliche, if you would, of school. So you had Molly Ringwald, who played the princess, the kind of the prom queen kind of a girl. You had Ally Sheedy, the only other female in the class, in the detention, mind you. Ally Sheedy was the outcast, the strange person, the one who was just kind of the out there one. You had the incomparable Judd Nelson, who played John Bender, who was the bad boy, the criminal, the guy going down the wrong path in life. You had Emilio Estevez. Before he was a duck, he was already a jock. He was already on the wrestling team, apparently, getting in trouble in the whatever else. He was the jock, was Emilio Estevez. And also he was one of the oldest people in the class. But anyway. And then, of course, you have Anthony Michael Hall. This was his second movie, I believe. This is actually the reason why they had to keep recasting a lot of the people in the Vacation movies, because Anthony Michael Hall had left the projects that he was signed on to do the Vacation movies with Dana Barron to be Rusty, if you don't remember. Vacation was National Lampoon's with Chevy Chase. And I got this from Dana Barron herself, so I know this is how that worked out. But Anthony Michael Hall would go on to go and do The Breakfast Club and then initially become part of the Brat Pack, which is what you kind of consider that kind of group of people back in those days. And of course, Anthony Michael Hall played the nerd. The brain, if you would. Now, they're all in detention because they all have their different, you know, kind of quos and what put them in detention. Obviously, they did something to get them there. But the thing about the movie is how each individuals from these different groups can put aside their differences to listen to each other and realize they're not that far from each other after all, which is a huge message for people back then, and which is why it's a pop culture phenomenon. It is a cult classic. In all honesty, from someone who's worked in the mental health field and so forth, and came from the mental health world, I can tell you that this is a movie that's very well used in schools and mental hospitals, day programs, camps, to teach about the values of school and relationships and kind of being your own person. And that's kind of what that is. But if you were to do that movie today, you'd have so many more of them. Think about you guys who are in school now. You have goth kids. You have disco kids. You have electrical kids. You have the Pokemon kids, the anime kids. They didn't have anime kids back then. That's why they weren't there. But that class would be a lot bigger now if you were to do that now. So the moral of the story is, what I'm trying to get to, is just be you. Accept you for you. If you like whatever you like, just like whatever it is. Don't make excuses for it. Don't be ashamed of liking something just because no one else does. When I was, of course, in high school, a lot of people knew that I was destined to be in a wrestling business. In high school, I was already on the path to graduating with honors, but I was also, you know, playing football, aka soccer. I was on the swim team. I was on the wrestling squad. You know, I was doing the mixed martial art tournaments on the after that. So I was pretty active back then, and I had the, you know, foundation of what the F4L was. In between that, I'd be, you know, fighting the bullies as the self-appointed bully buster, which is going to be another tip I'm going to give you. One, don't be a bully. Two, if you're being bullied, tell someone. And it's okay to tell someone. You're not a rat. You're protecting yourself. And if you're someone who witnesses something and you don't know, and you know someone's not going to do anything about it, then that's your responsibility, and whatever happens is on your head. I know that's a very blunt thing to say, and that's a very in-your-face thing, but it's 100% what it is. If you are sitting there in the class and you watch someone getting bullied, you do nothing about it, you're not helping the situation. You're part of it. Sorry to tell you, because you allowed it to happen when you know the right from wrong. So there's that. So if you see it, don't be afraid to step up. You might feel like you're going to get ganged up on, but guess what? Most likely, if you're not liking it and you're disgusted by it, I bet you anything someone else is going to back you up. Or if anything else, say it loud enough and someone will see you. And another thing is, to the parents out there who might listen, and I'm going to tell you this, and this is on behalf of your kids, because I can tell you this is a very common, usually when a kid tells someone, hey, listen, I'm getting picked on at school and getting bullied, couple of the cliche sayings that I absolutely hate with a passion is, sticks and stones will, if they're calling you names or whatever, you say sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. That's nonsense. That's not true. You know, psychology and everything else tells us that that's not true. Society tells us that's not true. Studies, both scientific, mathematic and everything else, supports the fact that that is not the case. Words are actually more painful than physical abuse in some cases. Emotional and mental abuse is sometimes worse than physical. So words absolutely hurt people worse than anything else. And if your kid tells you that, one, that's one thing they usually say, and that's not the response. The response should be, let me find out how to help you. And the other one is, oh, I love this one too. The other one was, where is your teacher? Or tell the teacher. And how many people know what that's like? Yeah, the bullies are not always the slyest, let me tell you. But fact of the matter is, the bullies are not going to be dumb enough to bully your kids in front of the other teachers, because they know the teachers will get them a hard time. Most schools have a no bullying, zero tolerance, have a zero tolerance thing towards bullying, which they should. But
that being the case, bullies are not going to get caught doing it because they're going to pick the moments they're not going to be there. The men's room, the boys' room, the locker room. You know, there's always going to be a time there's not a teacher around. For parents to assume that there's a teacher around 365 times when your kids are not in school, sure, you want to have the faith that your kids are going to be protected. Yes, granted, I have that too. But guess what? The reality is, and the sad reality is, for the most part, there's going to be those times when the teachers are not there, that the kids are, and the students are ones left to handle the things on their own. And it's up to you as the parent to figure out how you're going to help your child to get through that. My kids know how to take care of themselves. I train them that. And they know that if they have any issues, they come tell me because I'll take care of it. And also, I'm going to tell this little message to the parents, and this is also for the kids' behalf, but a lot of the time, and this is also for the kids too, a lot of people think, a lot of kids don't want to tell the, a lot of people are on the misconception that teachers or people of officials or some type of authority at school are above you or the law or your parents or anything else. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Like I tell my kids, if your teacher ever makes you feel poorly about yourself, mouths off to you, disrespectful to you, is rude, calls you a name, anything like that, you come tell me because I'm going to be the one to straighten the teacher out. That's not going to happen because my kids are there to school to learn, not to be bullied by a teacher. You can be constructive. You can use other methods to get your point across. And that goes to the teachers out there too. Anyone who has done this, it should be just quit your job. You're not meant for it. But anyone who is a parent or someone who has seen or done this, this is just something that needs to be aware, maybe said out loud, I guess, that not all adults always have the answers. Not all adults are good, and that 100%, if there's one group of adults you should always, no matter what, have 100% respect or 100% trust in, it's your parents or your whoever your guardian is. There's always someone you are close to. If someone in school who is an adult is giving you a hard time, principal, teacher, guidance counselor, gym teacher, doesn't matter. I've dealt with them all, and I have no problem going to the school and humbling the teachers because I've done it plenty. And it's because I love my kids, and no one is going to disrespect them ever. I don't hit my kids. I don't scream at my kids. I don't have to. My way of discipline is to talk to my kids and tell them why what they did was wrong and to be blunt and honest with them. Sometimes being blunt and honest is more horrifying than any other discipline you could ever give. Trust me on that. I don't believe in yelling and screaming and hitting kids in general. So for the schools that do the administration and parents who allow their kids to be hit in school, what's wrong with you? If you don't hit your own kid, discipline is not hitting your kids. You don't. The idea of discipline is to get your kids to know right and wrong and to respect the rules, not to be afraid of their parents. If you're one of those parents who think that you need to be afraid and that fear and respect is the same thing, that you're in the wrong, you're not the right, you got the wrong thing there. You might want to go to get some parenting classes because that's not how it works. I have two kids. I've never yelled. I've been upset with them. But what I do is I breathe. I take a minute. I think. And I look at the situation and I talk to my kids and give them the open floor. When they're in trouble, granted, my kids aren't out angels. My kids have been in trouble before, but guess what? When you have an open and honest relationship with your kids and you have that relationship, you don't have to worry about them lying to you, sneaking behind your back, or whatever else. If you have that open, honest relationship, I tell my kids, like I tell everyone else, whatever you do, don't lie to me because I, number one, it's almost, and it is, impossible to lie to me. I've heard it all, I've seen it all, and most likely have done it all. So, you know, there's nothing that you're going to tell me that I haven't already heard already. And I tell the kids that if you tell me what the real story is, whenever it comes to it, I promise you could. I'm not going to promise you're not going to get in trouble, or you're not going to get to hear one of my dad lectures, which Mike Brady's got nothing on me, and whatever else. But I can tell you that my kids will not have to worry about if I'm going to hit them, if they're going to be, you know, whatever, because they know that, yeah, they know they messed up, and they'll take ownership for it when it comes up. But they don't have to worry about me hitting them or hurting them in that aspect. They know what they did is wrong, and I know that they know that, so that's up to me to fix that with them. And when they tell me what happens at school, for example, because this is where that communication thing is. I think that's what the biggest thing you need to succeed in the school is communication with the people who are at home and at school. And never be afraid to ask for help. I know that a lot of people, a lot of parents are busy working. A lot of kids see that mom's working, dad's working, whoever your guardians are out there busy. And you seem to probably, you probably think that they don't know whatever you're learning in school. Maybe you think it's over their head. Maybe you don't want to pester them. Maybe you think they have enough things to worry about. Any good parent will never have a problem taking 5 minutes, 10 minutes to help a kid who says they need help with something. If I don't know the answer, I'll help them find the answer. I'll openly admit I'm not a math person. I don't like math, but that doesn't mean I don't know how to do 2 + 2. You know what I mean? And so forth and so on. So for the kids out there who, you know, are afraid, don't feel afraid to ask your parents or someone who's older for help. Maybe you have an older brother, a cousin, someone who's had the class before. Ask for help. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. Speaking of pressure, I know that a lot of people when they're in school, me especially, when I was in school, I was really hardcore on to really do well in classes, but also do well in sports, to do well in all the other aspects. Why was that? That was because I made the goal for myself a long time ago. Not only was I going to graduate, I wasn't going to graduate high school with honors, and damn it, I did it. Because I was told by my blood family I would never graduate high school. I wouldn't even make it to eighth grade. That's what my family said to me. And that's when I told them before the seventh grade started, I said, listen, not only am I going to graduate, I'm going to graduate high school with honors. I am never going to get anything lower than a thing. You watch. So from seventh grade all the way to 12th grade, back to back to back to back consecutively, I was either on honor roll or high honor roll every single semester because they doubted me, which is why I also tell the people out there who have a goal in mind, you have to be willing to put the work in. You have to be willing to give it the dedication in, but guess what? It gets done, and I did it. And what did I do to get back at those people? Did I tell them, hey, you know, did I swear at them and yell at them? Did I, what was my payoff? Well, I'll tell you what my payoff was. Payoff is simple. I invited them to my high school graduation so that alongside of everyone else in the city got to hear my name being called as graduating with honors. Me and then hear my speech, but my blood never showed up to my graduation because they knew that's what I wanted them to do, because they couldn't admit to the fact that I did what they said I couldn't do. They couldn't go to my high school graduation. That's okay. My F4L was there, all of them. So that I really appreciated. The people who were meant to be there were there, put it that way. There's that. And, you know, that's kind of some tips to help you get back to school, get things in order and whatever. Oh, the other thing I'm going to have, if you're a freshman in high school or sometimes some middle schools, I'm going to recommend you either join a club or a sport or some type of activity that you enjoy within the school. I'll tell you why. That helps with a couple things. One, it helps you on a social aspect. It'll help you establish yourself socially with the people, at least in that class. That'll give you kind of strength in numbers. It'll help you meet new people. And two, it'll give you it'll give you extra oomph to get to school. I know for myself, I was a big sports guy, especially team sports. And I am all about teams, and I got the awards to prove it. Most of the awards I got were for my, team spirit and for sportsmanship, as well as having pride in my school, leadership, and so forth. I was given the school's highest sports award called our school's highest sports acknowledgement is the Pride Award that shows pride to your school, pride to your team, and shows you have fantastic above and beyond team aspect and sportsmanship against the opposing teams. You represent your school well is what that is. And I took that to heart, and I won that award about 22 times in my high school career three sports really. I did other sports here and there. I tried American football the same time as football, or also known as soccer. That was a mistake. I did do wrestling and swimming all 3 years. I pretty much tried every sport. And a lot of the aspect is if you have something you are attached to, you would be less likely to skip or not go to school because your team needs you. Your class needs you. Your project needs you, whatever it is you're working on. If you're a drama person, your play needs you. If you're a chess person, that might be the game you lose. It doesn't matter what the sport is, what the club is, whatever it is. Whatever it is you have fun in, join that thing. And that'll give you an investment, and it'll give you something to go to school for. It'll also give you purpose. At the very least, you know your team, your group, or your activity needs you. That's the best part about it. That's an extra oomph to get to school because you know other people are going to rely on you. If you don't show up, that's going to be on you. And that's why I said that's one of the biggest tips I gave my kids when they went to high school anyway. So that's a cool deal now. Oh, why? I've talked a lot about a lot of things here because I have 37 minutes left. And I've been known to cut shows a little short sometimes in different things, depending on what it is I want to do. But today I'm going to try to get as much in this as possible since it's been so long. And I'm going to bring more of these shows to you as time goes on. I probably will be back here Talking Tuesday, which has always been a thing. By the way, for those wondering where Talking Tuesday came from, I told that story at the very beginning of this episode, where the Talking Tuesday aspect came from, which is why I have the FRL headquarters Talking Tuesday on Tuesdays. Spoiler alert. There you go. So there's that. Want to do some more shout outs for some F4Ls out there who are doing well, hopefully doing well. First of all, again, I want to thank Dave and Doug and David, all of the Hagans, for a really great time down at Monster Mania. I don't remember I have done a show since then, but it was a lot of fun, and thank them. And I really want to say thank you to all of the guests that were very humbled enough to talk to me and say hello to me, and thank them again for, inspiring me to get into the business and filmmaking and whatever else it is. And I appreciated that. So a shout out to them. I want to give I also would like to give a shout out to, so many people. Shout out to the Mason and Carter Stritzel, the Stritzel Fight Club. They're on our tag team division, our show on YouTube. But outside there in the real world, there are two young men who are taking the MMA competitive world by storm. They're from St. Louis, Missouri. These two brothers are beasts, and they have commitment. They've won championships in the last several meets, the last couple of weeks. So kudos to them. Also, shout out to our bodybuilding friends, both JoJo the bodybuilder from the United States. JoJo has competed in a couple different bodybuilding competitions as of recently, and he's done pretty well. He was actually a guest on the show. You'll remember about a month or so ago. Proud to have him. Maybe we'll have to have him on again. But a shout out to JoJo as well as our friend from the UK, Tony Fitness, who's doing big things. I have to say, brings me to another point I want to make real quick, just a side note, before I continue on with some shout-outs. I do have some more. But I wanted to point out again about the importance of safety on social media. A lot of the younger people who I'm trying to, give encouragement to give maybe points of wisdom how they can do big things, whether it be filmmaking, acting, wrestling, sports, whatever. I mean, I've done a lot of these things. I have a lot of aspect and a lot of experience in a lot of these things. And I have to tell you that on Instagram, because I'm not on anywhere else, it is the creepiest thing ever to see some of the people who have addressed these young men and women, and it's creepy, it's disturbing, it's disgusting, it's illegal. So to those people, please stop. Don't do that. Don't go online. You shouldn't, probably shouldn't be. And to the people who are creators and, who are following their dreams, their passions, be safe. If people give you, rub you the wrong way, you don't need them as supporters. They're not supporting you. They're creeps. That's my point on that. Just be safe on social media. Now, continuing with the shout-outs, we have a newcomer who just started on our show. He is our friend from the United States. He's a young hockey player. His name is Johnny the Iceman on our YouTube show. Just made his debut not long ago. Shout-out to our friend Johnny the Iceman. He's a hardworking hockey player, really huge into physical fitness and stuff like that, and, a lot of drive. And really happy to have him on the roster. Really cool kid. Maybe we'll have to have him on the show sometime. Talk about hockey, which my uncle would be excited about. let's see what else. Also want to shout out to Mike, Tristan, and Robin of OK Thank You, our fellow YouTube brothers, I guess you'd say, in arms. We had Mike on the show not long ago to talk about Disney. I'm going to see if I can get Robin to come on and talk us about some Dungeons and Dragons. I'm going to see how possible it is to, play some type of game via the show. I'm going to have to talk to Robin about that since he is a Dungeons and Dragons expert. And Tristan, I'd love to get on the show in general because he's a fellow filmmaker, and I'd love to pick his brain as a fellow filmmaker. Tristan, Mike, and Robin of OK Thank You, fantastic men who are all working hard and also on YouTube. So good stuff there. Our friend Minty from Australia doing Minty things. Looks fantastic. He keeps posting all of his pictures of his weight loss and stuff like that. He looks fantastic. Well done, mate. Keep it up. Speaking of people on the opposite sides of the world, I want to shout out to Leo the Bull Curtis. Yesenia Verkovits, our Russian. So Leo the Bull Curtis is one of our longest reigning MMA Grand Prix champions on our show. He's a young rugby and MMA competitor from the UK. Terrific young man, as well as our friend from Russia, Yesenia Verkovits, number 13, hardworking in football, and just started in MMA. If you guys watch our show, you know that he might be small in size, but boy, does he make it up for in size. In heart, because he's taking down the biggest guys we've had. So shout out to him and his family, as well as a shout out to Kinder Hulk. We can shout him out as well. I already shout out Tony Fitness. Oh, Bars and Melody. You guys remember Bars and Melody came back to our show recently. Leo Bars and Charlie Melody of the singing group Bars and Melody, coincidentally enough. They just started their own podcast, so make sure you go give them a listen to. They're going to have to try to call Laborite with them. Bars and Melody are two terrific young men from the UK, won the Golden Buzzer Award over there for their, I think it was America, Britain's Got Talent or whatever. Kind of like the Lucky Ones, who are our friends, Jack and Tim. I've already shouted them out, but I'll shout them out again. And again, Jack and Tim are on the touring scene. Bars and Melody are going to be taking some time off to kind of regroup and kind of refocus. And I think I have a lot of respect for that. As a creator, I do that same thing. And sometimes you have to stay fresh and to stay relevant.
I want to also say you don't necessarily always have to post something online to be relevant. Yes, I'm going to be trying to do more of these podcasts because this is something I think a lot of people can use a lot of this information. So I'm going to use some positive things in life instead of all this dreary, sad, sappy nonsense. I think it's important to take some time for yourself as well when you're in the business of film, movies, whatever it's going to be, because you can get burnt out so easily. And, yeah, just be careful. That's all.
Let's see. Who else can I shoot out? I shouted out the OK Thank You Boys. I shouted out the Stritzel Fight Club. I shouted out Bars and Melody. Oh, we also, fun fact. So one of our most ruthless tag teams of YouTubers, the two young men known as Brock and Boston, have now apparently found out that they are wrestlers on our show. As amusing as that is to some might sound, I get a kick out of it whenever I find out that some of these people don't know that they've been a star on our show and they act like they've never heard of it before. So I got a chuckle and they liked it. So I'm going to be trying to send them some of their matches. Brock and Boston, of course, previously are from Salt Lake City, currently moving to Nashville. Their social media presence is, you know, profound. A lot of big followers. I got a lot of respect for them because of the fact that they've gone through a lot in the last year, especially. I have a lot of respect for fellow YouTubers and fellow entertainers in general, regardless of how old or how, you know, big or small someone is. You know, the fact to be able to stand in front of a camera and to deal with the general public, it's not as easy as it might sound. To come out with new content is not as easy as it sounds. The guys from OK Thank You, Minty, Brock and Boston, myself, Gabe and Austin of the Father-Son Fist Bump are co-champions, by the way, as of right now. Gabe, of course, winning the United States Championship on our last show from yesterday. And, of course, Austin, our still reigning MMA Grand Prix champion for Dream Masters. So Gabe and Austin holding solo titles. Oh, boy, fun stuff there. But shout out to them, too. They're over there in Salt Lake still, I think. But, you know, to come up with content a lot can be difficult, can put a lot of pressure on people. I believe that it's not so much how much you put out, but what you put out. It's not about the quantity. It's about the quality of your content. I don't go on YouTube as much as I used to because I pick and choose. And whatever I have to say on YouTube is going to be something profound. It's going to be something memorable. It's going to be something epic. Otherwise, I'm not going to waste my time on YouTube. Because I've already kind of dealt with that, right? I've already lived through a lot of that aspect. I've already established myself on YouTube as the icon or the legend or whatever. You know what I mean? So, you know, in that aspect, you know, it's not about how much you put out, it's what you put out. And for all the people wondering, what should I put out, or asking fans, what do I want to do? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Do what you think you should do. Don't ask these people. And also, going back to my friends who are on social media and stuff like that, going back to the safety aspect, don't just do what everyone else wants you to do. There are some creeps out there, as I've pointed out, and be weary of, you know, whatever. If someone asks you to do something, show you something, and you don't feel comfortable doing it, which you automatically – the minute someone tells you to do something you feel uncomfortable with, number one, delete, block, done, report if you need to. That's awful. And that's the first act. That's the first things that should be happening. Those are going to be the first series of acquaintances that you should have. So be careful. Try to be positive. And to the people who like to be negative to other people who are on social media, they're on there doing that with taking their time out to do that stuff. And I have a lot of respect for fellow, as I said, no matter what it is, whether it be YouTube, filmmaking, sports, wrestling, whatever, they're doing the best they can. I'm never going to crap on someone unless they're doing a terrible job. Now, wrestling, I've done a pretty good job recently, you know, destroying my beliefs of what they're doing right now to the business that I loved so much. But as I speak right now, one of the biggest wrestling shows right now is currently on. I'm not watching it out of principle. I have a few friends of mine who are working the show tonight. One of my really good friends just returned to wrestling tonight. But in aspects, it doesn't matter because I have a lot of respect for them and the business. And watching a product I don't believe in and being run by people who I don't believe in, I can't justify that. Sorry. But anywho. I want to give you a quick update. So my last podcast we did, my son, my wife, and I all drafted our mock draft of the WWE. That's apparently going to happen soon. Apparently NXT may be changed altogether, I guess, from rumors and reports. Again, I don't watch wrestling currently. I just looked at what they had for a talent roster, and that's kind of how I went with that. A lot of them I do know of from my aspect, people I work with, which is why a lot of the people who I have selected would raise eyebrows and maybe surprise some people. But they're people who I know will create money and controversy and be entertaining and whatnot. In wrestling, you need good and bad. So that's kind of how that works. But there's that. So, no, I'm not watching the wrestling show tonight. That was answering another question that someone had. I've got a lot of good content today. I've got to give you guys a lot of good tips. I'm feeling pretty good about that. Answering some messages. Hopefully you guys got some inspiration about all this. Reviews. Oh boy. Oh, you know what? I can give you a review. Oh boy. This will be a quick review right quick. And I'm going to weigh in on this. I'm probably going to irritate some people. Sorry. Sorry for people who are irritated, but there is a new adult animated series that just started on HBO Max. I'm sure we have all heard about it by now. It's a TV show called The Prince. And The Prince is basically an animated series, kind of in the idea of maybe Family Guy or American Dad kind of an aspect, where we follow the British family. In this aspect, we follow Prince George, who is the son of William and Kate. And, of course, all of the other royals are featured on the show throughout the animated series. Basically, what this show is, it's a rib on the royal family. Apparently, British people, and, of course, the royal family are not happy with this show at all. As it's basically making it a longer version of an episode of South Park or Family Guy. Those of you guys who watch South Park, you guys know that South Park likes to push that envelope, and they like to kind of poke the bear, so to speak. Again, they're not associated with South Park. This is done by completely different filmmakers. You know what? They're brilliant. I really enjoyed it. I can take myself out of a situation to enjoy something as a fan. People who are upset, well, they're making fun of a kid and all these other things. Here's the thing. They're not making fun of the kid so much as the people around him that have created the monster that is, if that makes any sense. So because the prince, as they follow, this is, again, they're following Prince George, seems to have, like, the Stewie Griffin approach to life. And, of course, his sister and his baby brother, who apparently he's afraid of because his baby brother is more of a kind of a thug, where George is kind of presented as more of a prissy kind of a prince, if you would. Spoiled, rotten, whatever. That's anywhere in any culture, by the way. People in America, we've been doing that to American shows for years. We don't piss and moan about it. We take it on the chin because it's entertainment. So there's that aspect. I'm sorry that that sounds insensitive to the people who are upset about a cartoon show. But, again, it's a cartoon show. It's an animated series for adults. It's not meant to be taken seriously. If you're going to watch cartoons and take it seriously, there is something wrong with you watching it.
Okay, so there's that. And here's the other fun part about it is, since this show since I've seen this show, this animated series, by the way, this is the only series of all TV shows that my wife and I are completely 100% on board with. Usually my wife and I disagree on our movies and television show likes. That's kind of a fun dynamic too. But, you know, my wife and I agree that this show is hysterical. We both find this funny, intelligent, and enjoyed it tremendously. We didn't take it seriously because we are mature enough that we can separate. It does kind of make fun a lot about the British family, the stereotypes, or whatever else. But here's the fun part. This show came out this year. Got pushed back apparently several times over, whatever the case may be. This came out this year here in America. And so this came out just recently, but yet a lot of the things that are depicted in this cartoon show that a lot of people are getting up in arms about, I've actually seen in countdowns and in lists, and when you read things and you hear things, are 100% spot on before the show even came out to be. Just saying, there's a lot of people, you know, who make fun of this cartoon show for being upset and kind of picking fun at them. In the same sense, a lot of the things that this cartoon show is depicting are things that are known to happen at Buckingham Palace with the first family of England, as I like to call them. That's probably not what they call them, the royal family. So they're not the first, they're the royal ones. But all I was going to say is, with anything like that, there's two things. There's two ways you can deal with it. One, you can sit, watch, and enjoy it. Two, turn the channel. You don't have to watch it. Screw it. Don't watch it ever again. Watch something else that fits your need, that you like more. Actually, take that back. That's your choices. You don't have to watch it. Because remember, all the people who are getting upset about watching something that you don't enjoy with or whatever you don't agree with, you have the control in your hand. Excuse me, as the water goes down the wrong pipe. See, this has been an ongoing thing with television for a long time. Same thing goes with movies. A lot of people will blame movies for certain aspects of things, the violence, or I don't like this one, I don't like that one. The simple solution to that is just don't watch. I don't currently like what pro wrestling has become. I don't support any of the current wrestling programs. So I'm not watching them. My wife will watch it. I'm not watching it. I'm either working on the computer or working on something else, writing something, scripting a show, whatever. But I'm not watching the show because that's my choice and that's how I deal with it. If you don't watch, you're not offended. You don't have to be driven crazy. I listen to the commentaries by other people who watched it. That's more entertaining to listen to other people talk about it. But I'm not going to do it. And the same thing goes for anything else. I don't like reality television shows. So guess what? I'm not going to watch reality television shows. If I don't know who someone is on television, the power is in my hands. The remote control, I can shut the TV off and read a book. I can write, you know, I can almost be, all honesty, I can sit there and write. You give me a pad of paper and a pen, I will go to town. I could absolutely have no kind of idea what I'm going to write. If you hand me a piece of paper and a pen, I could be just as creative and create something else different because I have that aspect. You always have a choice of something else you can do. You don't have to watch whatever it is you don't like to watch. You don't have to listen to things you don't want to listen to. That's the same thing. You have control, so leave. That's it. There's no other way to look at it. You either listen to it or you don't. That's how it goes. There's no kind of happy medium there. If you truly don't like something, just don't watch it. You can say, I don't like to watch it, and just leave it at that. Because it's not your right, or you should not be, or it's not okay for you to crap on something that someone else likes because you don't agree with it, or you don't like it, even though you don't watch it. Because if you don't watch it every week or you don't watch it on a regular basis, but you have some type of feeling about it, what education do you have backing that claim up? Anyone who does science knows that if you want some type of scientific law, you have to have the proof behind the burdens. You have to have the proof of the relative of what it is, right? You can't say you don't like something if you've never tried it. That's kind of that aspect. That goes for a lot of things, too. I mean, come on. How many scenarios have we ever heard about like this, where you have to, you have, you know, this is a very ongoing, long-time thing that everyone always says, well, I don't like something. How many people have picky eaters in their family? I don't like broccoli. I don't like, you know, asparagus. I don't like, you know, meat. Well, you haven't tried it. How do you know? You can't say you don't like something until you tried it. In all honesty, my grandmother infused that in me. And to this day, I've tried everything. And luckily, there's not much I haven't eaten. I cannot have tuna, fun fact. I'm definitely allergic to tuna fish, which, you know, was not so nice when you're, you know, trying to do wrestling and so forth, as that's a really great protein builder. But because I'm allergic to tuna fish, I had to find other ways to get my protein, and I think I did a pretty good job. I was in the gym a lot and dedicated, and I was what they call the gym rat. And by the way, a lot of people, someone asked me the other day, you know, you look like a pretty big guy. I mean, what kind of endurance do I have? How far can I go or whatever? And here's the answer to that is my endurance level is off the chart, and I have more energy probably than most people my age or younger. And as far as strength goes, I don't really know how you would measure that, if I'm being honest. I guess someone used to say, you know, well, how strong are you? How much can you lift? And well, how much do you weigh? Is the ongoing joke to a wrestler back in the day. For me, for example, I have my writing bag that I bring with me everywhere I go. When I'm not driving, I have to take, you know, transportation and so forth, buses, trains or whatever, walking or whatever. To be honest with you, walking is one of my very favorite activities, and it's also my favorite choice when it comes to getting from point A to point B. Well, second favorite now. I like driving a lot more. Driving is relaxing to me. And I'm comfortable driving, and it gives – I love driving. Driving has a lot more – I like driving a little bit better than walking, but walking is my definite second best. Then, of course, taking public transportation or whatever. But the writing bag I use, because I have everything – it's still from high school. I still have that same kind of mentality that whatever I need for the day is with me. I have in my writing bag, I have paper and pens, like you wouldn't believe, files, and my computer, my chargers, my phone charger, whiteout pens, whiteout regular, envelopes, stamps, blank DVDs, a DVD burner, a DVD C player. You name it, I got it in there. Several thumb drives for various different film projects or whatever else. You name it, it's in there. Sunglasses, extra sunglasses, a stapler, a pen, a letter opener. So moral of the story is my writing bag, I don't get to weigh a lot because why would I bother? I did weigh it one time for joking or whatever, just to see how much it would weigh. And I put it on a scale at the post office and it weighed like, I think it was like 75 pounds or something on that particular day. 75 pounds. That doesn't sound like a lot. I carry that 75-pound bag everywhere I go, on my shoulder, up and down hills, left and right, miles upon miles. So my upper body strength is still there. My leg strength is still there. My endurance is still there. A number of weeks ago, I had walked several miles in – my breathing was like, I got to tell you, I felt incredible. My lungs, my chest was all clear. I felt amazing walking like that. My legs were killing me. But what happens is after a while, your legs stop hurting.
And also when you realize the reason why your legs hurt is because they're building the muscle. A lot of people are in this misconception that, you know, when you're lifting weights and all these things, that you just miraculously have muscle. There's work that goes involved. There's those pains that come along with it, too. And the pain that I get in my legs after walking, you know, 9 miles like I was, that's crazy. For someone my age to walk 9 miles, it's pretty damn good, especially when you're carrying a 75-pound bag with you all over the place. So a lot of people ask me, how do I stay in shape? How do I keep my endurance? And that's a good aspect of it. I also do about an hour of shadow boxing every single morning. I do some yoga in the morning. I do a lot of calisthenics. I'm big on calisthenics and stretching. I don't do anything athletic before I stretch. And stretching in general is very important, especially for someone my age. I get that from the martial art days. You know, as you go through your life, in your journeys in life, you take the different lessons and you should apply them throughout your entire. So where I'm at now, the healthy aspects I learned when I was younger come back to me now. So that's kind of how that works. So I have about 8 minutes and 47 seconds left. A shout out to everyone who I missed in the F4L, Joe Bruin of the New England Fan Fest Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. I want to shout out to Joe Bruin and all of his family. Joe has a brood of families. He has a huge family, always having kids. So a shout out to him and all of his kids and his wife and everybody else. Hope they're all doing well. Shout out to my wife, the lovely Daria Stevens. Shout out to my kids, China Thumba Payne and Sean Awesome. And again, a shout out to everyone else who may be listening forever. So a shout out to my friend, my wife's friend, who may or may not be coming back into the picture of her friendships. Here's what I got to say about friends who, not seeing friends for a while. Real friends are like boomerangs. No matter how far they go, they always come back. I've learned that over my time period. I've, you know, had friends who I am very close with, and then they move away or I move away. And then when we get together, it's like we never miss any time at all. We always have those relationships when you're in the F4L, that is. You have those relationships. I think those are important to realize. And sometimes, you know, sometimes things can get in the way and sometimes there's miscommunications. I think it's important to have communication with your friends and everyone else. If you can't have conversations with your friends, a serious conversation, that's actually one of the biggest kind of tip-offs for people, how you can tell who a real friend is how many people are you willing to sit there and pour your guts to who won't make fun of you, who won't insult you, who will make you feel better? Because if we always have those friends, well, on the same aspect, it's also the same friends who aren't afraid to tell you when you're doing something wrong. Or your friends who aren't afraid to say no. These are actual real friends. For example, if you have someone who said, listen, I like what you're doing here, but this is going to stop, or I'm concerned about this. That's a friend. But there's so many other aspects of being, what is it making a friend? What is making an F4L? What is it to be a real mate? What is it really, you know, all aspects? A lot of people think just because you hang out together for a long period of time, you are friends for life, that you are mates and all that. To me, I think friendship is a very, very special and a very important aspect to life. In all honesty, if it wasn't for my F4L, friends, fans, family for life, that's my model, friends, and made them my family because my blood sucked. They didn't have any love, any caring, compassion, understanding, or respect for anything, let alone each other's differences. And in the F4L, we have those aspects because that's what the code is. Every single day I wake up and I go to bed at night, I live the F4L way. I live the day with love, caring, compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences. But I'm also not afraid to fight for those things either. And that's where the misconceptions come over. We're a bunch of wusses or, you know, whatever. We're not. We're a lot stronger than we look. But anyway, that's a little bit of more aspect and a little bit more intellect into the F4L lifestyle, the philosophy that we believe in the F4L, that we're all family. Your friends, your real friends are your family, and that your friends sometimes can be more important than your own blood. And when you when you need that, not all families are negative. Not all families are really good. And I think it's important for people to realize that people have different family dynamics. I understand that. The funniest part about when the F4L started is how many people absolutely, and to this day, jeer, laugh, and joke about the F4Ls who don't understand it. You know what? And that's I understand that. It sounds naive and it sounds cliche. It sounds cheesy. But if more people lived the F4L way, there would be no war. There would probably be no issues, really, because you'd be able to understand and respect and listen to each other. So all honesty, the F4L could honestly save and be something that would actually be more endearing. And, you know, to be F4L, you wouldn't really need a war because you'd just be able to talk your differences out and understand it and respect each other's differences. If you don't show love, care, you have to show love, care, and compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences, then what would you fight about if you have all those things? You would have love, you would have compassion, you would care about other people. So you wouldn't want to fight. Why would you want to fight? What's there to fight about? And that's kind of the aspect of it. So I feel like right there I'm kind of going around in circles on that one, but I just wanted to drive that point home that, you know, everyone has the belief of what a friend is. And he, you know, you always know you're attached to the heart. You know who your friends are when, you know, the phone rings at 3 a.m. and you answer it. Or you need to talk to your friend at 3 a.m. and you call them and they pick up and they talk to you as long as you need them to. That's what an F4L is. On Tuesday's edition, I'm going to tell you guys some stories about the F4L. And so forth, and kind of give you some dynamics. I wanted to give a quick update on our bowling thing as we're running almost out of time, but my son and I have completed our summer bowling league. We had our last bowling banquet last week. A big thank you to John and Jimmy. A big thank to John and his daughter for running the summer bowling league, and it was a lot of fun. It was a good way for me to break myself back into bowling. I haven't bowled in a little while. If I was wondering, I do candlepin bowling, which is a different type of bowling style. And I'm working on a project right now to educate more people about candlepin bowling, maybe even bring in Jimmy or John, who run the bowling alley for years there, on the show here to educate people. But, hey, we did our best, and we may not have come out on what we did, you know, we gave it all a bit of a battle, and we didn't bow down to the bullies either. We showed up every single week, and we gave them a run for their money. We did not lose altogether, so social media things. But we are going to be returning to a fall league, which we'll have updates for you later. And again, everyone, thank you guys for joining me. I am the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens at the F4L headquarters. You can reach me by email at Dreammatches, DREAMMATCHES at gmail.com. Find me on social media at F4L icon Sean Jazz Stevens on Gmail, Sean Jazz Stevens, SEANJAZZSTEVENS on Twitter. And may all your dreams come true, everyone. We'll talk to you later. Peace, everyone.